You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
That cold case you're listening to? Nasty stuff. But you know what else is a crime? Missing even a moment of whatever you're doing to go on a drink run. Luckily, there's Drizly, the number one app for alcohol delivery. With Drizly, you can compare prices on the biggest selection of beer, wine, and spirits, then get them delivered in under 60 minutes. So download the Drizly app or go to drizly.com. That's DRIZLY.com today.
Live in front of your naked, steaming eyes. How have you been, John?
I've been dandy myself. You're living in New York now. I don't understand it. You're living in L.A. You're in the convertible. You're drinking the daiquiri. What makes you come to New York in the cold, snowy weather? You were living the life.
Well, a lot of what Los Angeles is honey, baby, sweetie, doll. You look amazing. The hell I do. I haven't been to sleep since 1979. And New York.
That's a long time.
And New York will tell you that. New York will tell you that you look tired even if you don't. Hey, that sounds a lot more like the dinner table in my family when I was growing up.
This is grounding you, by the way.
I don't do well with support. I do better with abuse. You know, my family,
oh, really?
When I was eating dinner, were the ones who told me, kid, you should have been a sailor instead of a singer because you're mutiny on the high seas. And that sounds more like New York's sense of humor.
Wait, your family told you that?
Yeah, it was my papa told me, don't be humble, kid. You're not that good.
Listening to the Cobras and Fire podcast, bitches.
Well, East Coast girls, I relate to those styles they wear. Being the Southern girls with the way they talk, they knock me out when I'm down there. The Midwest farmer's daughters, they live, make you feel all right. Being the Northern girls with the way they kiss, they keep their boyfriends warm at night. I dig the girls.
Wish they all could be California. Woo. Wish they all could be California.
I wish they all could be California girls. The West Coast has the sunshine.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, Luce Cannon, and I'm joined, as always, with the Foggy Bacco. How are you, sir?
I am well, Luce. How are you this morning?
I am excellent. I'm enjoying my Java. And yes, this is, man, I feel like I'm in rehab. This is the second or third episode in a row we've done sober. What do you think?
Well, I'm sober now. I still got time.
Oh, that's true. Okay. All right. Fair enough. But yeah, man, I think we're coming in hot for 2020. My God. I mean,
the debut episode was a solid one.
Oh, lots of feedback. We covered, you know, it's nothing like starting off the new year with some comments about racism, misogyny, and also the death of a parody account, Paul Stanley, P-A-W-L. Any updates on that?
Well, there was a news story by Alternative Nation that actually ran with it that mentioned that the fraud or something like that was called out. And I'm like, who are they calling a fraud, first of all? It was a parody account. But no. It was one of the worst written news stories. But it was kind of cool that, you know, P.A.W. Paul got some, you know, I don't know. What do you call that? National coverage? Something like that?
International coverage, my friend. I mean, there's nothing. I love the article because it was nothing but clickbait. It made no sense. It sounded like it was saying Paul Stanley is a fraud or somebody is a fraud. You get there, and then it's also talking about other things that we'll cover later.
Yeah, would it kill him to mention me or Rob or maybe our podcast where we announced it? Where it really should have been the source for that, right? I mean, that's the first official proclamation was our debut episode of 2020.
No. I've seen better posts written by Tommy Lee than that article.
Oh, but yeah, Chris Sinzak tried to fire it up on Facebook and get it going again. He pulled Rob and I in.
Yeah, what was that?
He didn't want Paul to die.
is he back? Is that going to be used?
No,
it's
already down. And the thing is, I kind of tipped him off. I'm like, we can see how it goes. But we had a Facebook page back in the day. Most people don't remember because it got yanked pretty quick.
Oh.
And Facebook has different standards than Twitter at least used to have. I'm not sure. There's still tons of parody accounts on Twitter. So I'm really miffed at what the issue was. But honestly, after kind of going through that for a few hours, it was kind of fun to relive it for a second. But I think for me personally, coming out and saying, this was me and I was doing this was kind of my way to move on. And so maybe it was for the best. And Rob feels like it's time to put it to bed, too. He's going to be sharing old tweets on Facebook every Friday, it sounds like. So, good.
It was cool. It was cool seeing the feedback and support from everybody when you came out, which is, I'm sure, the same thing as kind of like Bruce Jenner.
Yeah, it's exactly the same thing. Oh, man. Yeah.
Who knew?
LGTBQP, P for parody account.
That's right. It's a whole different organization.
People
that support
I'll make a shirt like that and just take a marker and draw P on it at the end and go to like the gay pride rally next year, this summer coming up. But
you should. I think it'd be great.
It's a talking piece.
Right, exactly. Just a big bald Paul Stanley on the back of the shirt.
The struggle is real. I need a hug, you know. You know, we did have a funeral for a jerk sock. You think Paul would have deserved one too, you know?
Man, I think we should do an official. We've never buried him. He may have died, but right now he's just laying on the street. I think we do need a proper burial for him.
Yeah, he's in the cooler. We'll wait for the ground to thaw and we'll do it this spring.
I like it. So what else you got going on, Baco?
Well, as you know, I'm down with the millennials. Have you heard of the White Claw Challenge?
No, but I understand there is no laws with it.
No, like most things that the millennials do, if it has the word challenge attached to it, it typically is going to be a very unchallenging task.
And it has to be filmed, I assume, too.
Of course, it has to go viral. I mean, I'm sure you can do it without filming, but what would the point be if nobody saw it?
Right.
And of course, I'm probably going to describe this wrong because, you know, I'm an old man who tries to cling on to youth. But yeah, the White Claw Challenge, as I understand it, if someone hands you a White Claw, you're required to slam it.
That's the entire challenge?
Yeah, that's my understanding of it. But, go online and figure it out. But So I adapted that a little bit over Christmas. I told everybody at the Christmas, at a Christmas gathering with the family that I secretly put White Claws in a handful of packages, and if somebody opened one, they had to slam it on the spot. What I didn't tell them is that I put a White Claw in everybody's present but mine. So everybody was all fucking hammered and pissing themselves over White Claw by the end of the Christmas thing. But, it reminded me of something from a while back. I think I touched it on the show, but I don't know if I got into a lot of detail because now I want to announce my own challenge for like a Cobras and Fire challenge. Okay, now you've been to a Chipotle restaurant, I assume. Yes.
Yes.
Not all of them, but some of them serve like beer and margaritas. Have you seen that?
I have not, but Starbucks does that too at places. So I'm sure.
Really, there's a Starbucks that serve alcohol?
Yeah.
Okay, we're officially going to lump in any Starbucks that sells alcohol into the same equation. You can do it either place.
Okay.
But for the better part, I think it's best if it's just Chipotle. But it's just as ridiculous if you do it there. But here is the Cobras and Fire Chipotle Challenge. That's what we're going to call it, okay? Because I always thought, when I've been in there, I've never ordered a drink at Chipotle. I mean, if pop or water is what I'm getting when I eat, typically.
Of course.
But definitely at Chipotle. I always thought it was odd. It's like, who the fuck comes and gets one Corona at Chipotle to have with their, ridiculous burrito?
It pairs well.
But then I thought, what if that's all you got? You're in line, it's lunch, they're busy as fuck, and you're like, can I get two Coronas? And like, you know, and of course, it's not like a bar staff. These are, you know, high school or early college kids typically working there.
Right.
Yeah. You know, are they even equipped to deal with this? You know what I mean? So, and then just continue to only drink. Just get fucked up in a Chipotle. How fucking ridiculous would that be? And would they cut you off? Would they know how to handle this? Like, what's this guy doing? All he's done is ordered 8 margaritas.
Well, they have to have somebody that's older to actually hand you the beer. The high school kids can't hand it to you.
I think it's – well, the law is very state by state and city by city, so I got to assume that's why, you know, some of these locations have them and some don't. But anyway, there's my calling. If you do this, go out and just save your empties, take a picture and share it with us on the Cobras and Fire group. If there's ever a chance that we can do it together, let me know. I want to be there and I want to get fucked up in a Chipotle. It is officially a bucket list item for me. It's as challenging as drinking one White Claw, so I really just want to see how the Chipotle staff handles it, because it's just ridiculous, the idea that some, like, just especially if you had like a group of guys. Like, yeah. You know, 4 dudes just sitting in one of those, like, fast food fucking, you know, tables, you know, booth, and just piling up fucking Corona bottles.
I think that this is the way you do it. First off, this is the Chipotle Challenge, is that what we're going to call it?
Cobras and Fire Chipotle Challenge.
Okay, I like it. So my way of doing it would be go there, order your burrito that is just under 1,000 calories, healthy, and go there, order 2 Coronas, but bring your own bucket, you know, bring your own bucket to put them in, just like a bucket of Coronas to start out with, and just keep adding to said bucket. You need nobody there. You need to be at a table by yourself, just slamming Coronas.
No, if you order any food at all, you ruin it. So no food.
Oh,
bring your
only
own bucket, fine. Yeah. It gets less ridiculous if you order food and a drink. But if you go in there with the sole purpose of, like, I'm getting drunk, like you're going into a dive bar, nobody would bat an eye if you walked into a dive bar and never ordered one of their frozen pizzas. But Chipotle, if you never order a burrito or any food, this challenge is food free. Eat before you go. Don't go hungry, or don't go where you're going to need to eat. Nope, that's the point of the challenge. How will the staff handle somebody who only orders alcohol?
Then I'm going to refine it. You bring your own bucket, like a Homer bucket from Home Depot. You take that in there. You get 6 Coronas. You put them in there. You sit your bucket on the top of the table. You slowly, oddly eye all the children while you're drinking, and you just hum to yourself slowly as you're polishing off Corona by Corona. And
the problem with what you're doing here, who does that in a bar? I'm saying treat Chipotle like it's a dive bar. You don't bring a bucket into a dive bar. You don't oddly stare at children. With a couple friends. Get drunk at 2 in the afternoon at a Chipotle. Keep going up to the counter and saying, "Can I get another round?"
You know, this is almost as much as when they started serving beer at Chuck E. Cheese, I realized when I was going to these kids' parties, is I would love to be cut off at Chuck E. Cheese.
That'd be all right too, man. But there you could. I guarantee someone's gotten hammered and gotten into a fight at a Chuck E. Cheese. Don't you think that's really not much different than a fucking kids, you know, baseball game? You know, you hear about the time. So
exactly. No, that's good. But yeah, I like your thing. You know, just sit.
Yeah,
by
I'm
the
not
window.
Suggesting people get belligerent, other than loud and obviously intoxicated. But be a good drunk. If you're an angry drunk, don't do this. I'm not encouraging that. So there you have it, listeners. The Cobras and Fire Chipotle Challenge. Feel free to take advantage of this and share any evidence of you out there doing it. Even if it's just you and a couple guys at a table at a Chipotle with beers, we'll consider that a win. And tell us
no
how,
food.
Yeah, no food. If you get food, don't even bother. If there's food on your table, we're gonna mock and ridicule you. there it is. So and definitely, if you do it, share it, and also make sure you have a safe ride. We want to make sure have fun with alcohol, but don't take it too far. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/cobrasandfire. On Twitter, our handle is @cobrasfinder. At Twitter, our handle is @cobrasfire. Join us on the Facebook group, the private group, Cobras on Fire. You can just search Cobras on Fire on Facebook and you'll find it. And you can connect with other listeners like yourself. And of course, Luce, what's the best way to connect all the stuff in the Cobras and Fire universe?
Yeah, just head over to cobrasandfire.com where you'll find all of our episodes, also any articles. We've got our Cobra and Fire store with a bunch of cool stuff there. And one click, you can subscribe to any podcast app as well that we're on.
And don't forget, every Thursday at 10 o'clock Eastern, you can hear us on 10 p.m. Eastern, I should say, on the Uncontrolled Noise Radio Network. Just search Uncontrolled Noise with a Z in your Google machine, and that'll come up. Apologies if you tuned in last Thursday because I forgot to send the episode. But you'll hear it next week. Anything I missed, Luce?
If you are a Stitcher listener, or even if you are not, just go to stitcher.com/premium, and if you enter the code COBRA, you can get zero ads, premium content, and bonus episodes for free for 30 days. Check it out.
And intellectual capacity that I believe is in the air, but everywhere is the ultimate act of treason. So few could be aware that their nation's heart is bleeding. Oh, when the violence has begun, we decree the pen more mighty than the gun. While the fools believe is one in this one in perfect harmony. It requires common sensibility to teach an intellectual capacity that I believe is in the air, but everywhere is the ultimate act of treason. So few could be aware that their nation's heart is bleeding.
The latest episode of Decibel Geek, The Mothership, came out this week.
Yes.
And it is the countdown of Aaron and Chris's top 10 records. And the very first song Chris plays, he kind of talks about, he sets up the song this way. He says, you know, there's a lot of kind of heavy subject matter in some of the songs he was going to play that day, but sometimes you just need a song that is just fun. And then he played a song that is about two people dying in a car crash.
Is that the I did notice that by Ron Keel? Yes.
Yeah, he's like, sometimes you just need something fun to listen to, and then he played Hearts Gone Wild. It's like, did you hear how that song ended?
They were halfway to Vegas when that sun came up. She never saw that semi truck. They were full of desire when they ran out of luck, and the song was halfway done. Witchy woman in a rambling man on a lost highway without a plan. But she won't get fooled again. Heart's gone.
actually knew what he meant. I mean, of course, I'm just nitpicking here. Yeah, because they.
Well, I mean, come on, Detroit Rock City's fun. People die.
Oh, that's true. Well, one is it people or person?
One person. One person with a really bad stereo.
Well, it was the 70s. Car stereos really have come a long way.
That's true. That's true.
Earlier this week when I woke up, I, of course, did do the first and most important thing I do every day, which is go right to Facebook to see what's going on. And I was flooded with video footage of David Lee Roth's opening night performance from his Las Vegas residency. So I went down the rabbit hole and watched a couple of videos, and oof, it was pretty bad, and I'm talking about him. So, of course, I shared some stuff on our page and my personal page and had some exchanges with people. Most of the blowback seems to be, this is terrible, but there are some people taking it kind of personally because it is bad. And he's got, you know, piped in background vocals, all this stuff. Did you happen a chance to see any of this?
I did.
Nothing really on it?
It is what it is. I don't really have much to say. Go ahead.
All right. Well, my couple thoughts that hit me shortly after this kind of started to spread, kind of like some kind of viral disease, in our group of friends. This is kind of a talking point. But anyway, this is kind of Dave, though. You know what I mean? It's almost reminds me of like the blowback of the Motley Crue. Like, yeah, well, Vince can't sing, you know, because they just announced their reunion and people are acting like this is news. He gained a few pounds after Motley Crue, but he hasn't been able to sing for 20 years. And Dave, for me, I mean, have you heard the song Slam Dunk? That's a studio recording that sounds like shit. And what about the Van Halen live record with the big boat that came out after the reunion? Listen to that and tell me how good Dave is. So I'm not really surprised, other than some of the defensiveness, like, you know, there's some comments. I got into it with Stephen Michael, you know, playfully, of course. Stephen's like, I'm just hoping to have good time with some friends and drink some beers and rock and roll. And I'm like, what the fuck does that have to do with anything? Nobody said you can't go enjoy yourself. You know what I mean? Why do people do that? It's like, you know why? Because they're taking it personal. They're like, fuck, I look like an idiot for buying tickets to see this shit. I better come up with a reason. No, go. Have fun. I don't care. My comment and nobody's comment was about anybody but David LaRoth's performance.
I love LaRoth.
Go ahead. Yeah, LaRoth. Loose Cannon's just blown up right now.
Wouldn't you love if there was actually a cover band called David LaRoth.
It's like a French Canadian.
That's what I mean. It was, and then there's another one just called David the Roth.
Oh, maybe something like Jean Paul LaRoth.
Continue, please.
Yeah. Anyway, David Lee Roth. It sounds like a country guy.
It does, actually, now when you say it. Yeah. Billy Ray.
Yeah. David Lee. Anyway, so look, it is what it is. It's bad. If you can't admit that, it doesn't. Don't ask me when my record's coming out or where's my tour. What does that have to do with anything? We all have a right to have an opinion, and I don't even think this counts as an opinion. There is no measure that this is good, other than I bet if you were there and you had a couple drinks, it was probably entertaining and fun. I will say I just saw this morning before we recorded this a more recent show, and it was mildly better. But I know one thing Steven said I did want to hit on real quick was that, well, if we had cell phone videos back in the day, all these bands we thought were great. There is plenty of live footage of all the bands we think are great back in the day, including Van Halen. And it's better. Look, that doesn't. If this was one bad night, I'd get it. But this has been his 20-year trajectory. This is him. This is what you get. And at least, you know, he's lined up on the right tour, it seems like, opening for Kiss. Maybe Paul can help him out.
You want to throw it to me?
Yeah. And before I kick it to you, I will tell you this. If I had one more Paul Stanley tweet, it would be Dave. I know a guy. Live to win. Anyway.
Knows a guy.
You
didn't. Yes.
You don't sound like you have too much to say on the matter, Luce.
Well, I didn't, but now you got me fired the fuck up. I have a lot to say now.
All right, let's go.
My view is a little more big picture, but first I'm going to go to something you just said. I think you're completely correct. You're not giving an opinion. You are, in a court of rock, showing evidence and letting the jury decide. Any jury, if you took somebody from a, if you took somebody that's never heard of Van Halen before, had never even seen music
Billie Eilish.
Before, yeah. There you go. And put him in front of it and said, what do you think of this? Go ahead.
No, it's a girl.
What?
Billie Eilish is a girl.
Oh, I thought it was that guy that was the effeminate guy on Parks and Rec. Is that his name?
Okay, I don't know.
I don't know comedians or this guy. Just like when I completely didn't understand
Carry
what
on.
Josh Timmy was talking about.
Carry right. on.
Just, but yeah, if you were to take this evidence of Dave singing and put it in front of anybody, they would look at it and go, no, that's not good. And then the next question would be, would you pay for it? No, of course I wouldn't pay for it. And that's where I'm getting to right now is rose-tinted glasses or however you want to do it or romanticizing the past and everything that goes into people. Let me tell you, our theme on this show, when I see this stuff, this is what got me all fired up, is that rock is not dead. But you know what is killing? And I'm going to tell you, you're guilty about this, people. You know what is killing rock and roll, the future rock and roll? Is this, is mm-hmm. anybody, and I'm going to call you out, I'm not going to pull any punches, anybody that spends money on this Kiss tour with David Lee Roth opening or spends money on the Motley Crue tour, I'm not even saying to have it to enjoy yourselves. I'm saying you are taking money away from artists that are coming up and you're supporting artists that have no reason or credibility or should feel guilty about performing and taking said money, okay?
Plus you're feeding the beast in Live Nation, Ticketmaster, and the whole secondary market. They're dominating all this stuff, so you're making things worse. You know, you want change? You think ticket prices are too high? Stop fucking buying them and stop supporting all these old acts that really can't do it anymore. Sorry. Carry
yes.
on.
Yes, and that's the whole thing. I mean, I look at this as soon as before any of this came out and everything. When I saw that David was opening for Kiss, I thought, wow. Paul is a genius. He's putting on somebody that sounds shittier than he does to open for him. So when he hits the stage, people say, and I've already posted this, not that bad. You know what I mean? Like the only other artist that could do something that knew that Kiss could look exciting and interesting at this point is putting a fucking painter up there. David Lee Roth is the painter of rock and roll, okay?
Yeah.
This is the person they're putting out there. And on top of that, I don't even think – you know this road is called what? The End of the Road Tour?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no. This should be called Truth in Advertising. That the road ended and they're still driving. Like Thelma, and they're like Thelma
they're
and Louise.
Off the road tour.
Yes, they are Thelma and Louise. Dave and Paul in the front of the car, just flying into the Grand Canyon, with you in the fucking back going down with them. So I am just saying, from all these bands, that from the Joe Elliotts and the backing tracks and all this kind of stuff, I'm taking a stand. I have not. We at the Cobras and Fire Corporation headquarters, we have transparency. And the transparency is this. We are not going to that tour. We have not seen Kiss since they've been this bad. You have not seen Kiss in quite a while because we are men of integrity, men of not going and validating things that are not good. Can we at least
I also
say
blew
that?
All my money in Rockin' Pod last year, so...
I mean, that's good.
I had 10 beers. I don't have money for concerts anymore.
Well, that's true. That's the actual truth. We're actually very poor. So, but I drove for Uber at one point.
Yeah.
No, but listen, but I'll back up on that and everything because I guarantee that some of our friends that have posted things that are in opposition of it.
Yeah.
You know. We are. I just want to make sure you understand this. What I am saying is, let's just take our opinions out of it. This is not an opinion. This is the actual truth. They are not good performers at this point. And spending your money takes money from new rock acts and supports the beast, like you said, the machine. That's it. Those things are facts. Can we at least say that?
Yeah, and there's the irony of it. The same people that are clinging onto this stuff like it's a dinosaur about to die are basically ensuring what they care about does die. And to me, that is kind of something that should matter. It's like if these things matter to you, like if music is really important to you, you want it around for the next generation. If rock music matters, if the Grammys pisses you off, do something about it. If ticket prices are too high, stop fucking buying them. Vote with your wallet.
Yes, take that $200. And I know that these podcasters, what's funny about it is I'm talking about podcasters specifically, not just our listeners, it's a contradiction because they are supporting new rock bands. But take that $200
sure.
that you're going to spend on that concert and buy, you know, 10 vinyl records, buy some stuff that is for the new, yeah, whatever, t-shirts, whatever, just support, take that and funnel it that way and tell these heritage acts that you are mad as hell and you're not going to take it anymore.
So cruel, I got a finger on the trigger, and one foot's in the grave, and everything I've had is broke or ran away. So tell me, what kind of love are you dreaming of? I guess it's even how it just ain't enough. It's a dangerous game and I don't wanna play. So tell me, what kind of thrown away. So tell me, what kind of love are you dreaming of? I guess it's even hard, just ain't enough. It's a dangerous game and I don't wanna play. So tell me, what kind of love are you dreaming?
So Tuck and the Restless Hearts, formerly of the Biters, they just announced that they are opening for the Motley Crue tour.
Does that mean you're going?
Oh yeah, that's my excuse. That's my new rock and roll. That's my ticket in.
Right, the Cobra and Fire double standard.
It's called the double standard.
But seriously, on that end too, that's now five acts. Where is he playing?
Yeah, like, in the parking lot. He's in the in the concourses while people are getting their nachos and beers, and that really just means that everybody's going to be playing pretty shortened sets. Kind of like what we saw with Gene when he was in St. Paul. You know, remember the opening acts all played like three songs. I don't know if it's going to be quite that bad, but I bet you Tuck gets 20 minutes.
Yeah, and they also said Texas Hippie Coalition's opening for David Lee Roth, so I'm going to that one too. So you'll see me at both concerts.
I have to admit, one last thing in that. I have such admiration for Dave and his career and respect for what he's done. For some reason, seeing him get old, I was actually more bothered by the fact that his body just can't quite do what he used to, you know, because he was just the king of that whole movement. He basically is responsible for the entire look of every lead singer from the 80s, you know, hard rock metal bands.
And I mean, come on, like a song like Dance the Night Away, it's just not the same without a 10-minute intro.
Anyway.
Makes it better. Go ahead.
Well, speaking of legacy acts, so Ozzy has a new album coming out in February. It's called Ordinary Man. We talked a little bit about it a few weeks back. One thing I wanted to get on, it's been a few weeks, so this is kind of old news, but that's kind of how we have to do it on this show. But there was a report from the Weekly Observer that Ozzy was on his deathbed. He had gotten pneumonia. It cited a statement from Sharon Osbourne, and then it just turned out that was all, you know, not true. But did you see any of that?
I didn't see that. The last thing I knew is when he tripped over his slippers.
Yeah, no, this is recent. Is like, I think, let's see, what's the date on the article here? This is, it doesn't have a date here. This this comes as late as, like, I don't know, I think it was in the middle of December, right around there. But anyway, Kelly Osbourne had something to say about it. I'm going to read her comment, and then I want to get into that a little bit.
So
she posted on Instagram, "Today I had a wonderful start to 2020. I went out to lunch with my family, then spent the rest of the day laughing and hanging out with my dad. I come home to read sickening articles about my dad supposedly being on his deathbed. Sometimes the media makes me sick. It's no secret that my dad has had a rough year when it comes to his health, but come the fuck on, this is utter bullshit." A couple things. I'm being serious here. I am just sick to death of this blanket false news, blame the media bullshit, no matter what we're talking about. If someone got it wrong, they got it wrong. I wouldn't be fucking terribly surprised if this was a fucking bullshit story leaked by Sharon Osbourne. It's not like she is not known for shady fucking maneuvering. He does have an album to come out to promote, which we're going to get into here in a second. But you know what, Kelly? Come the fuck on. This is utter bullshit. Blame the source. Call them out. Say who got it wrong. But this blanket bullshit that everybody does, it's just this lazy shit. Like, yeah, can't trust anything the media says. The news, the blah, blah. Look, there's some truth to that. But we aren't helping the thing by just fucking saying the media. Because what people who say that really mean is, when I agree with it, it's fact. When I disagree with it, that's just bullshit. So fuck you, Kelly. I really have no patience for celebrity children who really don't have the perspective of what it's like to actually live in the real world. Addiction hits people of all different groups, because I know she's had her battles with that. But you had a pretty cake life, and I ain't mad at you. I'm not jealous, but just stop being such a little piece of shit. Not now, Camaro.
You sound a little bit mad, but what I like the most
at
about
her. I'm not mad that she was born into money and didn't have to work.
I did like that at the end of the post, it had a link to buy her version of Changes on iTunes.
All right. And with that, here's Kelly Osbourne with Changes.
What else you got to say about it?
Nothing on that. I mean, so you didn't even hear about the hoax. Sounds like it was actually much more recent than I'm even crediting it.
I don't follow James Kotek nor Kelly Osbourne, so you're the source of news for me on both those subjects.
Okay, good enough. Well, let's get to Ozzy. He leaked another song out. It is the title track for the album Ordinary Man. Again, I think it's the end of February. It's coming out, something like that. We both had a chance to hear it. It's not bad. One of the things that irritated me about the lead up to this is that, like, about a week ago, the headline on Blabbermouth and Brave Words and such was, Ozzy is working on a song with Elton John. A week later, the song is the title track of the album coming out. So, no, Ozzy worked on a song. This album is in the can, I guarantee it. As you broke down in a couple episodes back, he needed to have it done 6 months ago for the vinyl pressings.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about that part.
So, yeah, I mean, again, my thoughts, why don't you talk about the song and I'll share what my thoughts when you're done.
Yeah, sure. So we're probably gonna have some differing opinions, but man, the first time I played this, obviously, first off, it's a ballad. It's a piano ballad, mm-hmm. that kind of builds to guitar and drums halfway through, but think kind of like a Changes or something like that. But the first thing out the bat is the melody, everything like that, very Beatlesque, and it, I immediately like the hooks. Now Ozzy's auto-tuned, as he is wont to do at this part of his
I don't version. Think he's auto-tuned. It sounds like a straight mono track, honestly. I mean, it might be doubled, but I think it was probably doubled on one take.
Well, like I said, we'll disagree about that a little bit. I can hear kind of the pitch changes. In my end, that's what I hear. But the fact that he – first off, the song itself, I think, is a solid song. His choice to be paired with a better vocalist than him was an interesting decision. I think Elton John actually, if you didn't tell me it was Elton John, I'm not even sure if I would know. He sounds very raspy, but his is basically just a pure recording, I think, on his end. But I really like it. It actually reminds me a lot of It's All Right, you know, off of whatever that.
That's a good comparison.
And the guitar tone on the last, it has like a minute and a half guitar solo, et cetera, going over everything at the end. And it just really reminds me of that track. So this is the first one that I actually do like, and it's a complete departure. But before you jump in here with your comments too, I looked at the song credits, and it basically, as we talked before, it's basically Post Malone, producer. There's a songwriter that's written all kinds of pop songs for everybody, and it has five songwriters. It's got Chad Smith, Duff McKagan, and then lastly is Ozzy.
Gave the bass player and drummer songwriting credit, he just did that to piss off Bob Daisley. I'm putting Sharon Osbourne behind that.
Well, I'm just saying he's last on the list too. You know what I'm saying? That is true. The drummer. Yeah, that is true. He's just throwing stuff on there.
Fuck you, Leaker Slack.
Right. If you were to take the whole – yeah, I would actually probably prefer the song even more if it wasn't Ozzy. It's just a good, catchy song to me.
It's not that bad. It maybe is the one that stuck with me more than the other two tracks. I haven't hated anything that he's released, but none of it's blown me away either. The one thing that's starting to – the picture's coming clear now that this sounds – when you put all three songs together – And I've read some of the comments by the producer who wrote most of the music for the record.
Right.
And he basically – he talked about how he got to be Randy Rhoads for a day and all this stuff. And I'm like, first of all, I've heard the guitar playing up to this point. No, you haven't. No, you weren't. No, you didn't.
Right,
whatever,
right.
However you want to put that. Yeah. But it sounds like somebody in his mid-20s who just discovered Ozzy, who's in a position to actually do something like this – and it's kind of a paint by numbers, kind of like a Ozzy for Dummies kind of version of what he is. But I like the vocal from both Ozzy and Elton John because, you know, these are two, you know, legendary singers who have iconic voices, but they've both aged. And it's just kind of nice to see it in kind of more of a laid back fashion. And like the ballad really helps just hear kind of where their voice is at now. These are men in their 70s. So I don't know. I think it's good. I'm looking forward to actually hearing the rest of the record as much as I may have just slammed it. But yeah, the guitar playing is probably going to be pretty disappointing because it has been up to this point. And I only mention that because Ozzy's always had, you know, next level guitar players that weren't just technicians, but they just had a flair and a pop to the way they played. And this just sounds like, I don't know, he hired me to play guitar on this. I don't know.
Bad choice there.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm getting at.
You're nothing but a banger.
Yeah, well, that's true. I probably couldn't pull off some of the slickness of this. I'm more of a banger, but I'm just saying, I don't think the guitar playing is notable at anything I've heard to this point. Even the Slash solo doesn't sound like Slash. So I, whatever. It is what it is.
It's all for you. lost control. They tried to kill my rock and roll. Just remember, I'm still here.
Lighten it up here a little bit, Lewis. One sure sign that PAW Paul Stanley is no longer on Twitter is that Gene Simmons tweeted out that he likes to put ice cubes in his cereal. Okay. He felt the world was safe to share that now, knowing that Paul Stanley couldn't tear into him.
He's in a safe place.
Yeah.
Safe space.
Gene
safe
Simmons
space.
Is easily triggered.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I remember seeing that post, and it wasn't the post itself, but the comment that I saw without any kind of punctuation, which I always think is funnier for some reason on social media, by Josh Toomey of the Talk To Me podcast that just says, Gene is a monster. I don't know.
I've never heard of this before, doing this. I mean, I've put fruit in my cereal from time to time. I'm trying to think of, I've put cereal on ice cream before, like vanilla ice cream, throw some fucking Cheerios or something on there, little grape nuts. But ice, apparently he thinks it keeps his milk icy cold. Wouldn't it just slowly water down? I mean, you're going to eat a bowl of cereal fast enough, but I mean, aren't those cubes ending up in his mouth at times and he's spitting them back into the bowl? I mean, this just sounds like a gross Gene Simmons thing. Again, why you don't eat with him, according to PAWL Paul Stanley.
I think we should send a message to Nick Simmons to show him how to turn down the temperature on his refrigerator. That might solve the whole thing. I mean, how warm does he have an ice box? Like back in the 1800s, that just gets slightly lukewarm, and then you have to add ice cubes.
That was the only thing his mom was able to bring with her from when she migrated to the United States was her refrigerator from the 20s.
It was the refrigerator and a game of marbles. Yeah. That's what it was.
Or the Chinese call them checkers.
Oh, that's right. That's Zing. Right. Yeah. Oh my.
Well, we are talking about a guy who's like picked a hamburger off the ground and ate it. So.
I mean, but can you see that? Like he's in, he's placing him. Wasn't he eating like Oreo cereal too? Like,
yeah. Yeah, it looks like it.
Yeah, it's so just, he's eating that. He is adding the ice cubes to it. He's slowly taking them out. Is this on his rider too?
Yeah, this is like the Kiss tour rider. You're like, you know, right next to Ace Frehley's, you know, $10,000 of champagne. Gene needs 4 5-pound bags of ice cubes at and a box of fucking Oreo cereal at every show. Maybe
Good
he gets
Lord.
Hey. Maybe he gets his milk the old-fashioned way. He's got a cow outside. He just squirts it in the bowl. So it comes out body temperature, and he's got to throw the fucking cubes in there.
That is true. That's next level. He's a man, you know, he's a man. He recycles. He composts, I'm sure. And he has his own chickens and cows for breakfast. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I would love to see Gene butcher a chicken.
I'd like to see him milk a cow.
Actually, that'd be fun, too. Wait, there had to be... there was something on... well, I guess he was trying to extract bull semen on one of the episodes of Family Jewels.
Because
that's what, he does.
Can you imagine getting like the episode list of the year, and one of them just says, Episode 5, Gene extracts bull semen?
Hello!
Festival!
before we get out of here, there was some sad news to report that Neil Peart passed away. I think one of the least surprising things about finding this out was that it was a complete surprise. He has just been a very reclusive person. I mean, he is, you know, if you watch that Rush documentary, he actually gets into it. It's just not really his thing to be out there with people. And he wrote a lyric, you know, "I can't pretend a stranger is a long-awaited friend." From, I think it's from Limelight. But so that just is the kind of person he was, you know. I mean, even Taylor Hawkins talked about meeting him and how it was like kind of bristly. And then, you know, the other guys in the band, they do the meet and greets, but Neil never really did. So, but with that, yeah, he had a, what was it? It was a brain cancer, correct? He apparently had been battling it for 3 years, which is probably what brought on the retirement tour that they did. I'm speculating on that.
Yeah, for me, while Rush is not a band I've actually ever gotten into, mostly because of Geddy's voice, it's just a personal preference thing, kind of like a Smashing Pumpkins thing with Billy and everything like that. But I always, you know, obviously I respect them. They've had quite an impact in music overall, prog, everything like that.
Real wide palette of music, too. They changed correct. So much through the years.
Now, and don't get me wrong, there are a handful of songs that I love by Rush, but their overall catalog I've just never been able to get into. But they are a band that's – it's like one of those bands, too, that's very unique where you can have a – and I'm just going to always throw this out there. You can have somebody that likes AC/DC and Kiss and also likes Rush, but they like no other prog music like Dream Theater and things like that.
Correct.
You know what I mean? They kind of break through that zone for people, wouldn't you say?
I totally agree. They're our greatest hits band for me as far as like what I like about them, but they were a band I always wanted to see live. And to touch on things I've said in the past, now that will never happen, that's the way it is. I don't want to see a different drummer with Rush. I don't need a hologram, that kind of thing, but that's a little off topic.
Yeah, but also they're serious but have a sense of humor about themselves. I mean, the fact that they were included, you know, basically is inspiration for I Love You Man or Jerk Off, you know. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, I mean, they were on tons of episodes of the Trailer Park Boys, if you've ever seen those.
Yeah.
Where they kidnap Alex Lifeson.
Most rock stars are supposed to be really approachable and really fun and easy to talk to, but for some reason, Alex wasn't.
I need 4 tickets to your concert right now. We can do this the easy way or the hard way.
Look, I'm not a ticket agency. I'm sorry, I can't help you with the tickets.
You can't give me 4 tickets to your concert.
I'm sorry, you can't.
It's just one of these guys that, hey, I don't want to talk to anybody, and I'm a big fancy rock star, and you can't talk to me, so it pissed me off.
Hang on a second, man. Hang on.
Let's go. No fucking around here. Say a word with this. I'm going to tell everyone you sexually assaulted me. Cops.
Come on, give me a break.
Come with me. Just take it easy. Just going to go for a little drive. Hotel security. This man's drunk as fuck. He's on drugs.
What's going on here?
He's a male prostitute. I'm going to escort him out of here.
Male prostitute?
That's one Ricky uses a lot. I've seen him use that on different people. The cops come and Ricky's like, this guy's a drunk male prostitute and he's soliciting prostitution and he's trying to do things to me and he's a drunk male prostitute.
I may have called him a male prostitute. I don't remember exactly. But I mean, very well, he could be a male prostitute. You don't know that.
Just going to take him out. He's drunk as hell. He's got to go.
His guitar tech. You told me you were his.
But he got pissed off at me saying, oh, you kidnapped me. And it wasn't kidnapping. So if he's going to say I kidnapped him, I'm going to call him a male prostitute.
Where are we?
Fucking best trailer park in the goddamn world right here. Good people, good friends, and we're going to fucking see a little show. Look, the first thing I want to do is make it clear this is not kidnapping,
this is
okay?
Totally kidnapping.
This is not fucking kidnapping.
This is fucking totally kidnapping.
I'm boring you for a little bit to play a little concert back at the trailer park.
You don't do that kind of stuff.
Look, you're fucking in a rock band. You should be used to this shit.
Can I tell you something? You're a fucking mental case.
That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, you wouldn't expect those guys to have such a great sense of humor from their public image music-wise. So it's good to see that.
I would say
kind
because
of stuff.
They're Canadian.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Oh, but no, yeah, and they were kind of close with the boys in Kiss too. A band we talk about a lot.
Yeah, I've heard about them.
The impact of Rush is legit, you know. Whether you're a diehard fan or not, there's no taking away from it, and it was definitely sad to hear. It was nice to see Facebook filled with a flood of, you know, kind of more positive remembrances for a change. It's too bad that it takes stuff like that to kind of shift the gears on social media for 24 hours, but.
Yeah, that was an outpouring. I was like, wow. I don't think there was. I think I would go like 15 or 20 deep before I'd find anything else out there, which is great to see. You know, I mean, he obviously had an inspiration across the board, musician-wise and everything. So, yeah, man. Neil Peart, rest in peace.
close to me, you won't.
Tell people the first day we met, the first thing we shared was a sense of humor. We started doing Monty Python sketches, you know, so having that, the sense of humor, if you share that, you share a bond, and I'm sure this is true for any relationship that anyone might have. If you share a sense of humor, there's a really good start to your relationship, and that's something that every single night on stage, we have little exchanges, you know, and they're wordless often, and we just have to look at each other a certain way, or Getty and I will play straight man to Alex, which is a natural, you know, role for us in the band. But those kind of things happen every day and every night.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.